This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. Another two-part program today. We're going to talk about Umpqua Brewfest in our second segment that's happening Saturday. Casey Hobick from Umpqua Watersheds is going to be in. But right now, we wanted to take a look and get as much information as we could about the disaster with the hurricane back east. We've been hearing about it on the national news. A lot of our national programs as well. Some really, I hate to overuse the word, but unprecedented devastation going on in some communities around the nation. Morgan Schmidt is with us. She's executive director for the Central and Eastern Oregon chapter of the American Red Cross. She's over in Bend right now. Morgan, thanks for being on.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So talk about what is going on and just how many folks, how many states are impacted by this recent hurricane.
Man, I mean, you said it. I know we hate to use that word unprecedented, but we are seeing that this storm just wreaked a lot of havoc and caused a lot of damage and, of course, a lot of loss for a lot of people. So, you know, the storm covered about a 500-mile swath of the southeast, you know, going from Florida to Georgia into Tennessee and the Carolinas. And so the Red Cross is on site and helping alongside a lot of community partners and a lot of agencies to reach people who have been affected and to support those that that need shelter, food, emotional support, and beyond.
And one of the aspects of this that I'm hearing about, too, is because of the level of devastation. I mean, I've seen pictures that I've seen so many, I don't remember which one is which, but there was one a couple of days ago from, I might have been in Tennessee, and it was like on commercial road, and all you saw was the tops of these businesses and the signs. Like you'd have a Wendy's sign and a sign for the fast food place next door and the gas station. All you could see was the tops of the roofs and then the signs. I mean, that's how much flooding. And somebody talked about in Tennessee, like an area that had not even seen a 500-year flood. Going back as long as they've been keeping records, they didn't even know water could get to where it ended up flooding. I mean, this is just crazy.
It is crazy, you know, and these are the inland communities that have been deeply affected and so much damage caused that aren't used to hearing about a hurricane coming their way. And so we know that these sorts of natural disasters, you know, whatever they might be, are becoming more frequent and more intense as our climate is changing. And I think, unfortunately, we're seeing some of the results of that in this storm.
And when you have all the cell towers down, power down, people can't access anything. This morning early on one of our national programs, they talked about people in a community gathering. And this is really old school, but somebody standing on top of a picnic table shouting announcements and giving out information, much like you would maybe even on the radio. But I mean, there's just no power. That was the only way to communicate. The person with the information was shouting it out, and people were taking notes, and that was the best they could do.
Yeah, you know, we know that connectivity is still a significant challenge in so many areas, electricity, running water, and even just accessibility, being able to access some of these communities by road. It's going to be a little bit of time before we're able to fully understand the scope of what's happened. And really amazing to see communities come out of the woodwork and people, of course, step up to help each other, help their neighbors. And the Red Cross is so honored just to come alongside and be a part of the effort.
Now, how long have you been with the Red Cross?
I've had the honor of being with the Red Cross almost 2 years. I was a pastor before this, so serving the community is all part of what we all do.
And I understand that you were over in Lahaina after the fires over there. Talk for a moment about that experience.
Yeah, you know, we show up where help is needed. So I had the honor of deploying to Lahaina last summer. I go with my pastoral background. I serve in one of sort of a specialized function for the Red Cross, where we have sort of disaster chaplains or spiritual care folks who are able to show up and walk alongside people just to listen and offer what comfort we can in the midst of the disaster. And so we join others who are, you know, health professionals who are able to help replace prescriptions and medical equipment that maybe people lost in a disaster, as well as mental health professionals who offer their care to people who have been impacted. And so it was a real honor to be in that place and really see some of those similar themes of neighbors coming out of the woodwork and people really, really taking good care of each other despite the devastation that they experience.
And one of the things, and we experienced here with the Archie Creek fires in 2020 east of Glide, right, is that it is very long term. I think Americans have a sort of a short window of paying attention to things, and we move on to the next crisis or event in our lives. And we forget, just like in Lahaina, where some things have been rebuilt, but most things haven't. And it's a very long process and very complicated infrastructure process and all of that. What kinds of things are going on? I mean, right now, you can't even deal with that. You're just trying to find people that are still missing.
Yeah, right now with Helene, you know, our primary focus alongside so many other agencies and organizations is just to help people as quickly as possible, to get them into safe shelter, to get them warm meals, to help them reconnect with loved ones. We've got over 200 Red Cross reunification staff who are available to help reconnect loved ones who, you know, might be in some of those communities where they get just a moment of cell service or Wi-Fi, and they're trying to make sure that their loved ones know they're okay and their loved ones have been asking about them. And so we've already received, you know, 4,000 requests for help in that reunification space. And so we're really just trying to meet those basic, most immediate needs, make sure that people are taken care of to the best of our ability. And then, of course, like you're saying, the recovery from a storm of this magnitude is going to be a very long haul. And we'll do our best to walk alongside people as they figure out next steps.
Well, I know the Federal Emergency Management Agency is working on it, but I think they said in one of the states, it was the storm overall, the fifth biggest impact in terms of a storm in the country's history. And that's a huge magnitude.
It's huge. It's absolutely devastating. Our hearts are just broken for everybody out there. And it's an honor to you know, be able to be alongside them, but just devastating.
Now, are you going to have an opportunity to go back there at some point?
Yeah, I think very, very, very likely. This is for us considered sort of an all hands on deck. You know, people who can go, who are staff, both paid and volunteers, are going. I think we have about 1,300 Red Crossers who are there right now, and just working tirelessly to provide that safe shelter, food, water, and support to these families who are struggling with the wreckage. And that will continue, and we'll continue to send waves of people to help and not only do what the Red Cross does, but hopefully support what local organizations, churches, and agencies are able to do for their communities.
How do you even get things back there to help people? I mean, they talked about one interstate has got, I forget the length of space, but it's going to be closed for months, maybe even years.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a total expert on the logistics behind the scenes of how the Red Cross does these things. I do know that we were working really hard even the week before the hurricane hit, knowing that it was coming, to pre-position not only supplies but also personnel in some of these communities and make sure that we had you know, what we thought we might need on hand. And I know we're not the only ones you know, looking for creative ways to get supplies to people. We obviously don't we're not equipped to do search and rescue. We leave that for the professionals and first responders. And so they're getting into communities that might be even more isolated. But as people can, we're encouraging them to get to a Red Cross shelter or to call 1-800-RED-CROSS if they need help or reunification services. And we will do everything we can to assist them.
The magnitude of this impacts not only those folks. I understand it's going to impact a lot of other people just in terms of transportation in that part of the nation. If you've got delivery vehicles going from, you know, state A to state B or whatever, they're having to reroute. And this is really going to have an impact for other areas of the country, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the domino effect, the truth is, and we know this, you know, in our neighborhoods or in our smaller communities, that we're all interconnected, and our flourishing depends on one another. And the same thing when there's trauma and devastation like this, that's going to have a ripple effect. And so just as we see sort of those challenges, whether it's in transportation and connectivity or the economy or anything else, you know, we see those threads also tying together people who want to help each other. And so there's a whole network of people. And you also hear this sort of groundswell of support, you know, from across the country as well, where we're going to take care of each other, you know, both now as needs are really acute and in the long term.
And just as we saw with Archie Creek, a lot of people reached out to help, and that help is, in our case, 4 years later, still going on with a lot of folks, you know, moving on to a different location or unable to rebuild or just have to essentially live life differently. It's going to be a long-term challenge for millions.
It's gonna change people's lives for sure. It already has. And I would say, you know, if we have listeners out there who are thinking to themselves, you know, how can we help? There are tons of amazing ways, really great organizations. But of course, we encourage folks to give to the Red Cross. We're funded by philanthropic gifts, and so that's how we are funding our response. And so you can give online, and that helps us out a lot. The other thing we can do is we're always looking for more volunteers. So if you're someone who thinks, you know, I would show up if my community had an emergency, or I would love to go and help, please go online, fill out a volunteer application, and we'll follow up with you to see if we can get you in the mix to help, you know, with your presence and your service with some of these, not only this disaster, but others. And then the third thing I'd say is that, you know, of course, the Red Cross provides 40% of the nation's blood supply, and we are not obviously focused on running blood drives in these impacted areas, and so we're not getting the supply of blood coming into that region that we would normally want to provide to those hospitals and medical centers. And so if you haven't donated in a while and you're able to donate blood, that doesn't just stay in our local community. Of course, we meet the local need, but then it also goes further afield, and we want to make sure they have everything they need as they face this recovery.
All right. Morgan Schmidt is the executive director of the Central and Eastern Oregon chapter of the American Red Cross. Morgan, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me. It's redcross.org or 1-800-RED-CROSS.
All right, 1247, part two, when we come back on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. The second part of Inside Douglas County today, Casey Hovick of Umpqua Watersheds. We're here to talk about Brewfest today, happening Saturday in downtown Roseburg. And I know a lot's going on to get ready. Tell us about it.
Oh, it's going to be a great event in downtown. We have it on the Umpqua Outback stage behind Old Soul Pizza. At the same time, the wonderful Blocktoberfest is happening. We have four great bands that are going to be playing: the Swiftwater Bluegrass Band, Jonathan Foster, James and the Lost Dogs, and Lance Canales and the Flood. And then we will have over 30 different types of beer and cider available. It's a tasting event, so people can try different things and find out what they really like. It'll be a very festive atmosphere with everything going on downtown and back in our area, and it's just such a great community event. And 100% of the proceeds we raise from this go to support environmental education in our local schools that impact hundreds of kids.
So talk about that education piece. What kinds of things do you guys do in that regard?
Well, for almost 15 years, we've had an AmeriCorps program, and our AmeriCorps goes into the classrooms or hosts events out of the classroom for kids to understand nature, to talk about trees and talk about water and talk about the various animals and the ecosystems. It's a lot of fun to engage. And this last year, we took over managing the program out at Eastview Nature Center. And so that's a great program that's been going on for a number of years. So just to see all these different kids and the various activities we have throughout the year and campouts and different things, engaged in learning that there is no planet B. We live in a wonderful living planet that we're all part of.
Now, the event on Saturday, how many years back did it start?
It started, this will be our 13th. We didn't have one during the 2 years of the pandemic, but this will be our 13th Umpqua Brewfest and our second where we've had it in the Umpqua Outback. Usually in the past, we've had it at the Douglas County Fairgrounds, which added quite a bit of expense and a little more logistical issues versus having it in the area we're building behind Old Soul Pizza in our building called the Umpqua Outback, where we can host events like the Brewfest and have people back there in downtown Roseburg, and it's really cool hearing the music coming off the stage and kind of bouncing off the buildings, and it's a special time.
So pretty much all outside, right?
Yes. We'll have a big tent. We've got a 20 by 40 tent. We have lots of canopies to provide shade. We'll have tables and chairs. We're also working with our friends at the Umpqua Valley Brewers Guild. They're going to be grilling brats, and of course Old Soul Pizza will be out there, and then lots of food on Jackson Street and Main as part of Blocktoberfest as well.
So if somebody comes to the event, what's the cost for this?
It's $15 to get in, and that comes with a souvenir glass, six tickets, and the music that we provide. And again, all the proceeds that we raise through this event go to support our environmental education program. So we're not getting rich on this. We're doing something for the community.
And you've got good weather for it. It's supposed to be right around 80 Saturday, so nice and warm, but not too warm.
It's perfect, and that's what we love about it. Being outside, having it happen during Blocktober Fest, that it's such a great community event. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's when you get there and everything's set up and everything's working and seeing the smiles on people's faces of all ages, that just shows how special it is in the Umpqua.
Now, I don't think I mentioned or asked what time this is taking place.
It starts at 11 and goes till 6 p.m.
And so pretty much mirrors what Blocktoberfest is doing, so people could come to everything they're doing for a while and then come over to yours or whatever.
Yeah, then go back and forth. So that's what we love about it. It worked out real well last year, and we think the most of our friends at Blocktoberfest and NeighborWorks Umpqua, who sponsors their event, it's all about community. And in these divisive times, and you hear all this stuff, when it comes to the Umpqua and the events that we're all doing together, just that sense of community and knowing there's a better space where people can be together and enjoy our greatest common denominator, which is community and in the environment.
So for the craft beers that are there, local, but elsewhere in the state too, right?
Yes, we've got all of our local brewers that'll be there, and we're so lucky to have great brewers here in the Umpqua Valley. We've got McMinimums, we've got Drapers, we've got our dear friends at Too Shy Brewing, our friends at Looking Glass Brewing, Backside Brewing in North 40, we'll all be there. And then we have Rusty Truck coming down here from Lincoln City. They'll have the fire truck out there, and he'll have eight different taps there of different beers from Rusty Truck.
So the tap is on the fire truck?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you'll be able to see it. It'll be right as you turn into the alleyway there at Old Soul Pizza. You'll see the Rusty Truck fire truck there with the eight taps and lots of people enjoying good beer.
And other places in the state, too?
Let's see. We've got Hop Valley. We've got... sorry, I should have had this better prepared. We've got the Coast Beers, our friends from blank. Sorry, it caught me on that. But we've got the Ninkasi coming in, and they're bringing several beers from Ashland and from the coast. And we've got some Eugene beers as well.
And there's some really interesting artistic. I mean, when you just look at the names and how they're you know, what they're doing with them. Some really unique things, a lot of artistry there.
Oh, yeah, and it's the creativity that people put into marketing their beers. And we do a lot of traveling around the country, and I couldn't be prouder of our beer here in our community and in our state. Most of these are small brewers that got started with small brew clubs like Umpqua Valley Brewers Guild, learning how to brew beer, and we have the best water on the planet right here, and we have the best hops anywhere in the world right here in the Pacific Northwest.
And let me jump topics a little. We also want to mention the river cleanup.
Yes, river cleanup's coming up the following Sunday, which is the 13th. It'll be our 40th annual river cleanup. We try to get out there every year. We do, and clean up trash before the big rains come in, which would move all the trash back into the ocean. So that's been a big event for us. We're inviting people to get involved and go and clean their area. We have four area coordinators that we have, so you can go on our website at umpquawatersheds.org and take a look at where the opportunities are.
All right, a lot going on there. And again, what's the time for Brewfest on Saturday?
Brewfest goes from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
All right, and the location?
Right at on Main Street, where Old Soul Pizza is, right in that alleyway between the Old Soul Pizza building and the State Farm building.
All right, Casey Hovig from Umpqua Watersheds, thanks for coming in.
Great. Thanks so much for having me, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.